The group stages returned in style tonight, with the defending champions once again entertaining the Bernabeu faithful.
Ronaldo on the ball, touch wide, this could be five, it is, Morata gets the goal, and it's Real Madrid 5, Legia 1.
In our other featured match, 10-man Juventus negotiated a tricky trip to France, emerging victorious courtesy of this moment of magic.
Mascherano now on the right-hand side, and he's into the penalty area and steps around, he's a man, and goes for goal! Oh, it's a tremendous goal! Juan Cuadrado for Juventus! It's Lyon 0, Juventus 1.
Elsewhere, there were important wins for Borussia Dortmund, Leicester, Porto and Sevilla. We'll bring you all the analysis and key reaction. Plus, we'll preview Wednesday's games and hear from Gerard Piquet ahead of his side's mouth-watering encounter against former manager Pep Guardiola. Barcelona welcome Manchester City to the Camp Nou. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly. Alongside me for this edition is European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, great results, great entertainment on Tuesday night. What was your sort of standout highlight, if you like?
Don't think I can look anywhere beyond Leicester City, Rob. Third game in the UEFA Champions League, third win. They're the only team on 9 points at the moment. And to not go through, they'll now have to make a little piece of unwanted history, because every other team since 2004, 2005 that has had 9 points after three games has gone through. Riyad Mahrez with the goal against Copenhagen and Leicester City, who would have thought it, have one foot and a couple of toes in the last 16.
They certainly do. Let's run through all of the results anyway from Tuesday's group stage games. Group E, CSKA Moscow 1, Monaco 1. Leverkusen against Spurs finished goalless. In Group F, it was 5-1 to Real Madrid against Legia in the end. Borussia Dortmund held on for a 2-1 win at Sporting in the same section. Group G, as Chris mentioned, Riyad Mahrez with the winner for Leicester in that 1-0 win over Copenhagen. Porto, 2-1 winners at Club Brugge. They left it late, the Portuguese side. And in Group H, it was Dinamo Zagreb 0, Sevilla 1, Lyon 0, Juventus 1. And we'll start our review of Tuesday's action with that game in Group H in France. It was watched for Matchday Live by Richard Connolly.
Left-footed in-swinging corner. It's got a wicked whip on it. Now, what's the referee given here? He's booked Bonucci. I think he's given Lyon a penalty. Alexandre Lacazette, Lyon's star man, is saved by Juventus' star man, their hero goalkeeper. Buffon to the rescue, diving low to his left. A terrific save, and it's still 0-0. And now Fekir collects inside the box. He shoots. Oh, what a save! What a save by Buffon. Falling one way, stuck up the arm, and somehow tipped it over the bar. That was outstanding from Buffon, and he keeps it 0-0 again.
Yeah, it was Fekir once again, and it's Lamina who's brought him down, and it's a second yellow card for Mario Lamina. And Juventus are down to 10 men. In goes the free kick. Oh, the back post! Buffon's there again! Buffon's there again to deny Tolisso. Point blank range. It's a brilliant free kick in by Fekir. In came Tolisso. He's 2 metres out. And Buffon somehow stays strong and watches it and makes another brilliant save. It's an exhibition, this.
Mascherano now on the right-hand side, and he's into the penalty area and steps around. He's a man and goes for goal! Oh, it's a tremendous goal! Juan Cuadrado for Juventus from the narrowest of angles. He thumped it in. The 10 men of Juventus lead in Lyon. And now Buffon's heroics, will they pay dividends? It's Lyon 0, Juventus 1.
Well, a great result for Juve. Alongside myself and Chris Parrott is our commentator for the game, Richard Connolly. Richard, very entertaining affair in the end, but Lyon will feel perhaps that was a missed opportunity.
Yes, I think this will go down as a night of immense frustration for Lyon. Only the second time they've been beaten at their new stadium in 16 matches. And so that will hurt as well.
and a real opportunity to beat a club of the resources and power of Juventus. Juventus, you started the match much more strongly. Lyon did seem to have doubts, but they grew into the game. And that penalty, what a key moment that was. Lacazette just coming back from injury, not certain of himself. Buffon, complete picture of calm, a brilliant save. Further doubt injected into Lyon. And yet in the second half, the chances came again. The counter-attack from Lyon, because that's what they were doing throughout. Juventus were dominating the ball. Fekir's shot, a little deflection on it, and somehow, diving one way, threw up an arm, Buffon, flicked the ball over the crossbar. It was a save of extraordinary speed more than anything else.
I mean, was this a night where he proved doubters wrong? People talking about a dip in form? And
well, if the doubters were there, then they only need to watch the highlights when they come on UEFA.com, because what a performance it was. The third save, perhaps Tolisso will think the point-blank save, that he could have put it one side of Buffon, but again, he was so calm, didn't rush out, watched the ball, reacted, made another brilliant save, and that in the end meant that the counter-attacking goal from Cuadrado, after the sending off, Juventus were down to 10 men, by this time, Lamina sent off for two yellow cards. Cuadrado countering with the extra pace, the substitute got around his man and scored from the tight angle when everybody was expecting a cross. And Buffon's saves did pay dividends. I mean, but he was the man of the match, and he was the man of the match by quite a long way.
Of course, he saved that penalty, Chris, from Lacazette. And it was something you noticed in commentary. It seemed to have a big effect on Lacazette psychologically to have missed that spot kick.
Yeah, it did. First of all, he didn't follow up his shot. He put his shirt above his head. We didn't really see him then for the rest of the first half. And then as he came on the pitch for the second period, he was sort of pushed onto the pitch. And his body language didn't look like a man who was going to go out and say, I'm going to make up for that penalty miss and I'm going to lead the line. It was more of a man who didn't really want to be there.
And at the start of the match, before the match, in the pre-match huddle, he'd been one of the two key voices for Lyon as well. And
right,
I know,
yeah.
You know, it's a huge amount of responsibility on a young player coming back after injury. He's 25. He's coming back after injury. They've missed him so much. But he clearly felt the weight of that responsibility with a body that perhaps wasn't 100% fit. And it proved too much for him.
And what do you think this result says to Juve's credentials for potentially winning this competition? They weren't brilliant today, Richard.
Marchisio is close to coming back.
And you, that's key,
add,
right?
You add his difference into that central midfield. Lamina got sent off for the two yellow cards in that area. They're not certain about Hernanez, perhaps, in that role. That's why Lamina played. Put Marchisio in there instead. That's an extra boost. They're not playing brilliantly, but they're not conceding goals. And that gives them a chance all the time.
Yeah, there was no Chiellini against Lyon as well. So bring him back into what looks a formidable back five or whatever it is. That they're not conceded yet in this season's UEFA Champions League. And they're finding a way to win, whether it be a moment of magic up front from Cuadrado or from Buffon. And that, it's an old cliche, but that is what great teams do. And I tell you what, if Juve can improve, then I think they can go a very, very long way. And this result really, I think, has them more than edging towards a place in the last 16, which was the first hurdle.
Strength and depth.
They do certainly have that, as we saw from the match winner. Juve host Lyon next. And Sevilla are at home to Dinamo Zagreb, having beaten them 1-0 in Croatia on Tuesday night. Samir Nasri with the only goal just before half-time. Sevilla deserve the win, and they're level on 7 points with Juve. Juve top of the section just at the moment. Lyon third, Dinamo Zagreb bottom. OK, let's move on to our second feature match from Tuesday's fixtures. The holders, Real Madrid against the Polish champions, Legia. It was watched by Jonathan Beck.
Now Gareth Bale. Approaching the edge of the area, cutting back on that left foot. Gareth Bale into the corner. That's more like it from Real Madrid. Under the cosh, surprisingly so, but Gareth Bale fires them in front. Asensio spraying the ball from inside his own half to the wide left channel with Benzema, who's now approaching the penalty area, into the penalty area, pulls it back to Marcelo. It's deflected in for an own goal, and Real Madrid are taking control. This is a big moment, a chance for Legia to get back in the game almost immediately after conceding the second goal. We await the referee's whistle. There it is, Up steps Radovic, right-footed, sends Navas the wrong way, and Legia have scored. Ronaldo inside the penalty area, lays it back, wrong-footed the goalkeeper, and Asensio makes it three. Morata bearing down that right-hand side. Oh, slammed in wonderfully on the volley. Wonderful cross, and the two substitutes combine. It's Lucas Vazquez, who's just come on 4 minutes ago. Ronaldo on the ball, touch wide. This could be five. It is. Morata gets the goal, and now both substitutes are in on the act. Made again by Ronaldo, who has two assists, but not yet a goal. Planted into the bottom corner by Alvaro Morata, and it's Real Madrid 5, Legia 1.
Well, a great result for Real Madrid after a nervy start. Joining us now is Jonathan Beck. Jonathan, Legia had a wonderful start to that game. 5-1 almost feels a bit harsh, showing given how adventurous they were at the Bernabeu.
It does, and in a way it flatters Real Madrid, which is strange because had Ronaldo taken his chances and maybe Benzema late on, who had a couple of decent ones too, then it could even have been 6, 7 or 8, which would have really been harsh on Legia. I mean, they've come out and said, look, we're not particularly happy that we lost, but Bartosz Berezinski said we gave 110%. On the other hand, we're not happy we lost, but we are leaving Madrid without being humiliated. And certainly if they can learn lessons from how they played and adapt that and use it in the return game in Warsaw, then things might be a little bit different. People look at the scoreline and think, well, of course, there, we all expected that, if not more. But yeah, it doesn't tell the whole story because early on in the game, there were two good chances from Jodlevic and from Vadis Ojija. And had they both gone in, then after 15 minutes, it could have been Legia leading by 2-1.
Cristiano Ronaldo had a rather frustrating night in the end, Jonathan, having scored in that big win at the weekend against Betis.
Yeah, he rounded that off, but he couldn't finish anything here, I'm afraid. His teammates were trying to set him up towards the end of the game.
They were trying to lay it off to him at the end.
Even when Benzema was in a better position, he would try and give it to Ronaldo, and get closer. He got a two assists, which is decent, but I mean, he'll be probably kicking himself and looking at himself in the mirror and wondering how he didn't manage to get pretty close to that century that he's chasing. But he'll fancy his chances when they meet again.
And presumably good to get back to free-scoring ways and winning ways because Real Madrid had that frustrating run. What was it, four draws in a row?
Yeah, four draws in a row in all competitions against not even massive teams. Eibar in La Liga and Las Palmas as well, Villarreal and Borussia Dortmund. So it wasn't the best of runs, but then they slammed six past Real Betis and they've had another five tonight. So when they face Athletic Club Bilbao at the weekend, then they'll go into that game with a little bit more confidence. And certainly, I mean, they could be more ruthless, as I mentioned, but they also could have had a little bit of a harsh lesson early on. Zidane has talked about them not starting games too impressively, and that was an issue again tonight. And if it happens against better or more experienced opposition, then maybe they will be punished again.
Jonathan, thank you. Get thinking about your man of the match, because we'll ask you that by the end of the show. The other game in the group was a 2-1 win for Borussia Dortmund. Aubameyang and Weigl with first-half goals, both great goals for very different reasons. Bruno Cesar pulled one back with an indirect free kick, but Dortmund pick up another victory, and it looks like them and Real Madrid are heading through that group, Chris.
Yeah, it does. You feel Sporting are going to have to go to Dortmund and maybe win the game or beat Real Madrid at home to have any chance of going through. There's a four-point cushion, and what it does is set up what we thought it would be when the group stage draw was met, a brilliant night when Real Madrid host Borussia Dortmund maybe to go through in top spot. But all of the injuries for Borussia Dortmund, you know, six or seven potential first-teamers out.
Absolutely,
at the moment.
Yeah.
And yet they still go to Fortress Lisbon and beat Sporting away from home. That's quietly a very, very impressive result from Borussia Dortmund, I think.
It is, and they, of course, host Sporting next on Match Day 4. Real Madrid will go to Poland to take on Legia. Dortmund top with 7 points, Real Madrid in second with 7, Sporting have 3, and Legia are looking for their first point since returning to the UEFA Champions League. Tonight in Group G, Leicester City, big win for them. They got a 1-0 success over Copenhagen. The goal scorer was Riyad Mahrez. We'll hear from him first, then Danny Drinkwater.
We're very happy. We needed to get these points. Now we have 9 points in 3 games, so we carry on and we'll see what we're going to get.
No, we knew it would be tough. You know, we knew we had to fight tonight. It's any Champions League game is a tough game, you know, but we know what kind of team Copenhagen was, and we had a game plan and we stuck to it. And I think that's what's got us the 3 points.
Danny Drinkwater, outstanding in the centre of midfield. Riyad Mahrez, the match winner today. Richard Connolly, interesting because their Premier League form hasn't matched what we've seen in the UEFA Champions League so far.
No, and particularly away from home, they've really struggled. It's going to be too much for them, you sense, to defend their Premier League title. Their attention seems to be on the UEFA Champions League, and they are relishing every second of it. A few quotes from Wes Morgan, the Leicester captain, to add to what we've just heard. He said, "It was a stern test on the night, that's for sure. We had to work really hard, be resilient and try and take our chance when it came." He says it was an unbelievable atmosphere once again. The crowd really turned out and cheered us on. It's nights like this that you live for. I mean, they are loving every second in the UEFA Champions League.
They certainly are, and with good reason. 5 points clear. Chris, as you hinted at the top of the show, give us the numbers for this, because Leicester would have to do very well to not qualify now for the round of 16.
Yeah, they would. Not just because of where they are, because they have a five-point cushion over two clubs, which puts them in a wonderful position. But since the start of the 2004-2005 season, 39 clubs have won their opening three games, which puts it into perspective how well Leicester City have done. That's a long time. And all 39 of those teams have gone through to the first knockout round. So Leicester, historically, are almost there. And when you look at it on paper, they are as well. And they could wrap it up in Copenhagen in a couple of weeks' time.
All Ranieri talked about last year was 40 points, 40 yeah. points. Doesn't work like that in the
12 UEFA. Points, 12 points.
12 points is enough. Let's hear from the Leicester manager now.
I'm very pleased. In Premier League, we play so many matches and we have less points than the Premier League with 3 points. But that is our story. It's normal because when you play for the first time Champions League, in Champions League you are very, very concentrated, very focused. Now we have to continue in this way. We want to go in the knockout stage if it's possible in Champions League, if it's not possible in Europa League. And we are in good point now, but we have to continue in this way.
Absolutely brilliant from Claudio Ranieri, because at the moment in the Premier League they have 8 points from how many games is that, Richard, they've been playing now?
Eight games.
Yeah. And from three they have nine.
He is brilliant.
He is.
There's no one better for a quote than Claudio Ranieri.
The other game of the group finished 2-1 to Porto at Club Brugge. A last gasp penalty, if you like, for Andre Silva gets Porto that win. So on match day four, Porto host Club Brugge and Leicester will go to Copenhagen. Kasper Schmeichel playing at the stadium where he plays for the Danish national team. Quickly on to Group E, CSKA Moskva 1, Monaco 1. Monaco getting that equaliser in the second half from Bernardo Silva. Lassina Traore scoring against his parent club. But despite that, Chris, not good enough probably for the Russian champions.
No, they took the lead after 10 minutes with Traore. Monaco were well worth the point, although it came very, very late on. Approaching added on time, Bernardo Silva with an excellent finish, his second and second in successive away games now, having scored against Tottenham on match day one. He's had a brilliant group stage, the young Portuguese star. Before that, Akin Fayev made a number of brilliant saves, including from Andrea Raggi from close range. But unfortunately for him, it's now 40 games in a row in the UEFA Champions League that he hasn't kept a clean sheet. But boy, he deserved one this evening. But yes, 2 points now from their opening three games to CSKA, still looking for their first win. It's a very, very tight section. And when you look back on that late goal from Bernardo Silva, if Monaco go through, might just look back to that strike in the Russian capital as a pivotal moment.
Well, they're not out of it. 2 points at the bottom of the group. Leverkusen on 3, Spurs on 4, Monaco on 5. And Leverkusen and Spurs are on those because of their 0-0 draw in Germany tonight. Vincent Janssen came closest for Spurs, hitting the bar in the first half. Hugo Lloris, I promise you, has made the save of the season to keep out Javier Hernandez on the line. Goal line technology showing it hadn't quite gone over. Simply unbelievable. Jonathan Beck, I understand we have some reaction to the game at the Bayer Arena.
Yeah, Hugo Lloris has been speaking. As you'd expect, people quite keen to talk to the Spurs goalkeeper. He said they can be pleased with the point. Leverkusen are an experienced Champions League side, and they showed that. Of course, he says we missed chances in the first half. At this level, if you don't score, it is difficult to win games. But the second half, the game turned good, which is what Mauricio Pochettino said. He felt that they were much, much better in the second half. A defensive job together, said Lloris, but also he added, I think we want to all go back to Wembley. The first game against Monaco is still fresh in our minds. We want revenge for everyone and all the fans. They deserve more. Son, said it was a special night for him, but he was upset that they didn't manage to get the 3 points, going back to Leverkusen, of course, where he signed from. And Lars Bender, the Leverkusen captain, felt they had enough chances to score and win the game. They should have rewarded themselves with a goal, but you have to admit, there were two very good teams. We'll have to live with the draw just now.
Yeah, despite that being 0-0, well worth a check out for the highlights on UEFA.com for the saves tonight from Lloris, Schmeichel and Buffon alone. Coming up on Matchday Live, we're going to preview Wednesday night's group stage matches.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til racismo.
Non au racisme.
Nein til racisme.
Nein al racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.
OK, let's now concentrate on Wednesday's games in the UEFA Champions League. Our main match, and we're going to have commentary this one, is Pep Guardiola's return to Barcelona. Not the first time, but this time, for the first time with his new employers, Manchester City. Gerard Piqué says it won't be easy to face their former boss.
I think Manchester City is a different team from last year and from all the years that they came here to play in Camp Nou with Manuel Pellegrini. I think that their style of play is different. They pressure a lot, really high. They try to have the ball and create chances. And I think that they play more or less the same style as us, because obviously Pep Guardiola was here for a lot of years and he understands football as the same way as we understand. So it will be a really challenging game, and I hope we can win.
It certainly will be very interesting, as well as goalkeeper Claudio Bravo returns to Barca as well. Let's speak to our commentator for this one, Phil Blacker. But all eyes, Phil, on Pep Guardiola ahead of this one, surely.
Yeah, understandably. Evening, Rob. All the narrative, isn't it, has been about Pep Guardiola and his return. It's the headline act of one of a number of fascinating subplots, really. And understandably, it's going to make a lot of the headlines before the game, and probably given what happens in the game as well. But I think for me, it's two fantastic football teams going head-to-head. And let's not forget that as well, because Barcelona have progressed. Certainly, I think, as Luis Enrique has said, since Guardiola departed, they've evolved a little bit, as has, to an extent, Guardiola's management model. He's now got the opportunity to test at Manchester City very early on in his Manchester City tenure, just where they are, and get the opportunity to pit his wits against his good friend, his former colleague, Luis Enrique, and that Barcelona side. It's an excellent yardstick for him, I think, at this stage of his Manchester City tenure. And certainly for the neutral, it should be fascinating, but also very easy on the eye, you would have hoped.
Yeah, Phil, often we big up games like this, and then they can be quite tight, cagey affairs. Fair to say this season, both attacks have been much better than the teams have been defensively, and Lionel Messi is back. Do you expect both teams to go for it to try and win the game?
I do. I think for Barcelona at home, it's the only way that they know, the only option really that they have, because of the players that they've got in the squad. And you're right, the return of Messi is massive for them. Almost a month out, but back as the substitute amongst the goals at the weekend. So that's huge for them. For Guardiola, there's slightly more, I think, of a decision to be made in how they approach it. But again, because of how firmly he sticks to his footballing philosophies, because of the chance that I mentioned to see where Manchester City are at this stage, and because of the attacking talent he's got, the likes of Aguero and De Bruyne is coming back to fitness as well, I think it would be churlish and very unlikely for him to abandon his policy for this game. So I think both teams will stick to their attacking philosophies, and because of the players that are going to be involved, we are very likely, I would imagine, to get goals.
Oh, Phil, you've jinxed it. You've only gone and jinxed it, haven't you?
I did throw the very likely in there rather than guaranteed. As I was saying that, I was thinking exactly the same thing. 0-0 written all over it now, isn't it?
It certainly is. Phil, thank you very much. We'll be joining Phil tomorrow for commentary of Barcelona against Manchester City. The other game in that group is Celtic against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Gladbach without Thorgan Hazard and Raphael, we understand, for that game. Big losses for the Bundesliga side in Scotland. Let's turn our attention now to the other feature match. It's in Group D. PSV Eindhoven arrive in Bavaria to face Bayern. And Richard Kaufmann will be commentating for this one for us. Richard, a game that Bayern will surely be looking to put in a big performance because they're three without a win in all competitions.
Yeah, well, you would say that Bayern obviously would be huge favourites for this match, and I think they are huge favourites for this game. But as I'm sure you're all aware, they're a team at the moment, I wouldn't quite say in crisis, and Carlo Ancelotti was asked about that tonight in the press conference, but they are a side at the moment that are short of confidence, which sounds a bit bizarre when you consider they're top of the Bundesliga, haven't been beaten in the league at all. They've only lost one match all season under his guidance as well. But the way they've been playing, there's something missing. There's a lack of intensity. The play they played in the first half against Eintracht Frankfurt at the weekend was, well, I think Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, it was not worthy of Bayern. They were just short of everything. They lacked intensity. Carlo Ancelotti saying that they didn't have the right attitude. And I think the fact that tonight they're all tucked up in bed in a hotel in and around the Bayern Arena shows that they're taking this match very serious. That's the first time this season in a home match where they haven't all come from home. They're staying in a hotel together tonight because they see this as a vital match to try and re-kickstart their season. And it's a wonderful opportunity, I would think, for PSV Eindhoven maybe to cause a bit of an upset.
I was going to say, I think it's 13 straight wins or something for Bayern at home in the UEFA Champions League. But does this mean that PSV, given where they are in the group as well, might see this as a game and perhaps come out and be a little more attacking as opposed to just sitting back and seeing if they can hold on for a 0-0 and get a point?
Well, Philip Cocker was saying that, you know, we can't go there and just defend. It'll be a nightmare. So we might as well go and have a go when we can have a go. But you mentioned 13 straight home UEFA Champions League wins for Bayern München. Bear in mind, I think PSV haven't won away from home in the UEFA Champions League since 2007, I think it is, something like that. So, I mean, you know, if you look at the form, you wouldn't give PSV much of a chance. And let's bear in mind, Bayern München might not have won it for three matches. PSV have drawn their last three as well. And hopefully they didn't get a penalty because they can't score a penalty to save their lives at the moment either. But listen, I think it's going to be an interesting game. On paper, you would normally say you'd expect Bayern München to win by three or four. I think it'll be a lot tighter than that.
Richard, thank you very much for joining us. And that is all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live this evening. It has been a fascinating night of group stage action once again that we have witnessed in all 10 men of Juve managed to edge out Lyon by 1-0 in France thanks to a late goal from Juan Cuadrado and a superb penalty save from their talismanic goalkeeper Gigi Buffon. Richard Connolly, man of the match.
Yeah, 9 men, 1 Superman, and that was Buffon. And David De Gea on Twitter agrees with me, saying top performance from Buffon. So he's caught the eye of many top goalkeeping experts around the continent.
And at the Bernabeu as well, defending champions Real Madrid were at their free-scoring best as they saw off Legia 5-1. Ronaldo somehow not getting on the score sheet. Elsewhere, wins for Dortmund, Leicester, Porto and Sevilla, whilst the points were shared between CSKA Monaco and Leverkusen Spurs. Join us from 19:30 CET on Wednesday. Full commentary of Barcelona against Manchester City and extended updates of Bayern against PSV Eindhoven. We'll bring you all the goals from all the group stage games as they go in across Europe. So until then, from Chris Parrott, Jonathan Beck, Richard Connolly, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Alexandre Lacazette, Lyon's star man, is saved by Juventus' star man, their hero goalkeeper. Buffon to the rescue. Cuadrado now on the right-hand side, and he's into the penalty area and steps round. He's a man and goes for goal. Oh, it's a tremendous goal. Juan Cuadrado for Juventus from the narrowest of angles. He thumped it in. It's Lyon 0, Juventus 1.
Now Gareth Bale. Approaching the edge of the area, cutting back on that left foot. Gareth Bale into the corner. Asensio spraying the ball from inside his own half to the wide left channel with Benzema, who's now approaching the penalty area, into the penalty area, pulls it back to Marcelo. It's deflected in for an own goal. We await the referee's whistle. There it is. Up steps Radovic, right footed, sends Navas the wrong way, and Legia have scored. Ronaldo inside the penalty area, lays it back, wrong-footed the goalkeeper, and Asensio makes it three. Morata bearing down that right-hand side. Oh, slammed in wonderfully on the volley. Wonderful cross, and the two substitutes combine. It's Lucas Vazquez, who's just come on 4 minutes ago. Ronaldo on the ball, touch wide. This could be five. It is. Morata gets the goal. And it's Real Madrid 5, Legia 1.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.